Amen. Stand with me all over this house. We're going to turn to the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Well, I tell you, that sure does excite me tonight. And I guess what I got tonight kind of goes along with what he just did. But, man, what a powerful move of God we've been having in this place over the last few weeks. The Lord has moved so mightily, and lives are being so deeply impacted. Fires are beginning to burn in the souls of men and women, children. When children weep in the presence of the Lord, you've got the presence of God in the house. Amen. And I watched him Sunday as we began to sing that first song. Man, he hit that altar. And he just fell down with a fierceness, like he was getting what he came for. Amen. And I believe the Lord has some powerful stuff in store for Brother Mike. I've always believed in my heart he was a very special young man. And God has something tremendous for him. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to turn with me while you're standing in your Bibles. I want you to meet me in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14. I want to read to you out of the holy text tonight, a parable that Jesus spake in the 14th chapter of Luke. Luke 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 16. Shout out amen when you get there. If you do not have your Bibles, the words are provided for you on the screen behind me. Those red words indicate the words that are spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pay special attention to those red words tonight. Amen. We're reading out of the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning in the 16th verse. The word of the Lord says, Then said he unto him, he being Jesus, a certain man made a great supper. And he bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. I'm going to read that one more time. And they all with one consent begin to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. The excuses begin. And another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came, and he showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to teach for the next few moments tonight on this thought, excuses. Simply this, excuses. Lay your Bibles down in your seats. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Let's thank him for that tremendous testimony. Let's thank him for these tremendous services we've been having. Let's thank him for these full altars and hungry hearts and expecting minds. Let's thank him for revival tonight. How many want revival to continue in this church? Oh, magnify the Lord with me tonight. Let's give him some praise in this house. Lord, we love you. Bless your word tonight. Bless your word. Bless the hearts and the minds it falls upon in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuses. No, there's no shortage of excuses. Excuses are like elbows. And I won't say the other word that many people say, but you know what I'm getting at. Everybody's got them. There's no shortage of excuses. I want to talk about excuses for a few moments tonight. I read a statistic this week in a book that I've been reading, and it was very concerning to me. And it stirred my spirit, Brother Edwin. It made me really begin to think about the body of Christ. It made me really begin to think about the people that I pastor. Praise God. We got him. We got him. Yeah, we rebuked that devil in this place tonight. Yeah. I've been wanting to do that for a week and a half. that was not intentional. I'm sorry. But he was in my face, and I just had to get him. but I read this statistic this week, and it was very concerning to me, and my thought tonight stems from what I read. What I read this week is this. Most people who influence their friends and family to follow after Christ do so within a short time of their initial conversion. I'm going to read that one more time so it sinks in real good into your mind tonight. Most people who influence their friends and their family to follow Christ do it within a short time of their initial conversion. I want you to think about how backwards that is tonight. I want you to think about how troubling that is tonight. Most people who influence their family and their friends do it within a short time of their initial conversion. The truth is, the more mature some people, not all people, not everyone, and I'm please don't take me wrong tonight. There are some people that got this thing right. But most people, the more they mature, not all people, but some people, the more they mature, some people become in Christ, the less effective they are in making disciples. Can I tell you, that's not what the Lord had intended for us? Can I tell you, he intended for that fire that this young man just experienced at this altar the other night? And let me tell you something, what he felt right here, he felt the power of God. I was watching him and his hands were shaking because the Lord was all over him. Amen. Let me tell you something, the Lord don't intend for that to go away. The Lord don't intend for you to stop sharing that after the newness wears off. The Lord intends for you to keep that fire burning and keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that you love. He never intended for us to get a little catch of fire at the very beginning and encourage some people to come to church and then for us to just get kind of settled in and relaxed in and settle back into our seat in the church. Come on, if you're a professional Pentecostal, I'm praying the Lord gets a hold of you tonight before we leave this place. Come on, if you're one of those people that is comfortable with coming to church and sitting in your seat, I'm praying that the Lord gets a hold of you tonight before we leave this place. If you're comfortable in your role and what you're doing and you never get spontaneous and you never get out of your comfort zone and you never just do something for the Lord that you just feel like you need to do, I'm praying that the Lord gets hold of you tonight. Amen. Because the Lord never intended for us to lose that fire and to just settle in. Amen. We should not become less effective in making disciples. We should actually grow in the desire to create disciples. And let me tell you something. Your burden for souls should not decrease. It should increase. Your desire to get people to heaven should not dissipate. It should increase and it should grow. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, most people who get their families and their loved ones to come to church and convince them to follow after Christ do so within a short time of their initial conversion. And our burden for souls, church, it should grow as we grow and as we mature in Christ. It should not sink as we settle into the church. Listen, instead of learning to disciple people and instead of learning to help get people to heaven, they learn to sit back and relax and enjoy church services with the rest of the content congregation who just wants to feel a couple of goosebumps and go back home and do what they want to do. Come on, let me tell you, this ain't what God had intended for His people. This ain't what God wants for His disciples. He wants us to grow the body of Christ. He wants us to invest in people. He wants us to establish meaningful relationships with people. We need to be the leaders of our society today. We need to be the people of God today. We need to be the people with that fire that people desire to have in their life. That's what we need to be today. Amen. Not a people that settles back and enjoys church services like a content congregation. Amen. It's a troubling thing to me today, the way that people somewhat become professional churchgoers. Amen. This is not what God intended for us. God wants us to invest in His people. God wants us to do exactly like He commanded this servant in this parable to do. Go out into the highways. Go out into the lanes of the city and grab the hold and gather up the maimed and grab a hold of the lame and the broken and bring them to my house so I can sup with them. Amen. That's what the Lord wants us to do today. And our burden for souls should grow as we grow and as we mature in Christ. It should not sink as we settle into contention in the church. Now, godliness with contention is a good thing, all right? But you being content on you making it to heaven and nobody else is not a good thing. You grow into a place in your walk with God where you feel as if it's okay. If I make it to heaven, they made their own bed. No, that's not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be a people that have a burden and a love for His broken people, His hurting people, His maimed people, His people that have been discouraged and disappointed and let down. The Lord wants us to speak into their lives. Amen. And this is what God wants us to be. Our works must accompany our faith. Amen. Our works must accompany our faith because faith without works is dead. Let me tell you something, you can have all the faith you want, but if you ain't willing to put legs on it and you ain't willing to speak into somebody's life, you ain't willing to teach a Bible study and you ain't willing to pray and lay hands on somebody at the altar, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with this wonderful gospel, this wonderful truth that God has given you? He didn't give it to you to bogart. He gave it to you to share with lost and broken people tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. There ain't no bogarters in the body of Christ. Amen. He didn't give us this thing for us to just keep it all to ourselves, but He gave it to us that we can invest in His people. Amen. James 2 and 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Even the devils in hell know there's only one God." He's not the member of a triune. Come on, He's not the member of a triune. He's all powerful. He holds all power in heaven and in earth. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. He is not the member of some triune. He is not second in charge tonight. Even the devils in hell believe that there's one God and they tremble. "But wilt thou know," He said. Amen. Wilt thou know? He said. Amen. Listen, the devils in hell even know that there's one God and they tremble. He said, O vain man, that faith. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. Church, we got to have works. We got to have works tonight. We're not saved by those works, but we need to work for the Lord. We need to have a desire to work for the Lord. Amen. It's my goal. It's my objective. It's the objective of this church. Listen, not to fill this church with people that don't want to do nothing. That's not the objective of this church. Let me tell you something. We don't want 150 people sitting in this church that's on their way to hell. We want 150 people sitting in this church that's going to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in and say, the Lord can touch you and the Lord can make you whole. Amen. Well, there's no Bogarters in the body of Christ. If you're a Bogarter, you're in danger of busting hell wide open. If you're worried about yourself and yourself only, and you have no compassion on the lost, you have no compassion on the hurting, let me tell you something, you're in danger of hellfire. Because the Lord loves broken people. And the Lord wants to reach into the lives of people. The Lord wants to help people. Church, we need to focus on investing in people. Let me tell you something. I challenge you. Find somebody in this church to connect with. Find somebody in this church to pray with. Find somebody in this church to make sure when they're not here, you reach out to them. Say, hey, can I pray for you? Is everything okay? We've been missing you. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in the body of Christ. Amen. Not come in here and sink into our own contention and our own comfort and say, well, I'm here and they chose not to come. Let me tell you something. Reach out to somebody this week. Let them know you missed them in the house of God this week. Get on your knees in your bedroom on their behalf this week and seek God for them. We need to focus on investing in people. If you look at the formula that Jesus taught his disciples, this is what they did. They got into the lives of the people they discipled. They taught them. They walked with them. They spoke into their lives. They prayed with them. They taught them the word of God. Come on, we need people that are willing to invest in people. We need people that are willing to focus on meaningful relationships and establish friendships that will last a lifetime and help get people to heaven. Come on, there's no time for attitudes in the church. There's no time for jealousy in the church. There's no time for contention in the church. There's no time for malice in the church. There's no time for evil thinking in the church. The Lord's coming soon, and we need to be ready, and we want to take as many people with us as we can when he comes. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. If you're tired of excuses tonight, if you're tired of the devil having his way in your family tonight, if you're ready to give up, hand up, throw down those excuses, clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Oh, I'm tired of excuses. Lord, help me get the excuses out of my life. Help me get the excuses out of my life tonight, Lord. Oh, I want to get people to heaven. I want to get people to heaven. Amen. Our goal is to reach people and to disciple people and to help people like a baby and to feed them and nurture them and help them learn to overcome until they can stand on their own feet. Amen. I've said many times in this church, you don't take a baby. You don't just let it be born and bring it forth into this world and say, there you go, figure it out. No, you nurture it. You hold it. You embrace it. You love it when it cries. You pat it. You give it food. You nurture it. This is what we have to do to babes in Christ tonight. We got to learn to invest in people. We got to learn to establish relationships that will last and help people get to heaven. Listen, I'm convinced tonight you don't have to be a Bible scholar to disciple someone. You don't have to have it all figured out to disciple someone. You don't have to wait until you have all the answers to life's questions before you start investing in someone. Listen, when you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you got the Holy Ghost in your life, God intends for you to start investing in people. If you want to be blessed, if you want to prosper, pour yourself into God's people. and God will bless you. I'm convinced that we don't have to wait until we have all of the answers to life's questions to bring people to the Lord. We don't have to wait until we have all the answers to every Bible question. Come on, there's some Bible scholars in here that I probably can't compete with myself. But let me tell you something. Are you teaching more Bible studies than I am? Are you investing in people of God more than I am? Come on, listen, I'm not worried about answering every question. I want to help get people to heaven. Come on, if we run across questions, we'll seek God about it. We'll ask the Lord about it. But right now, I want to get somebody following me as I follow Christ. Come on, you don't have to wait until you have all the answers today to every Bible question. You don't have to wait until you've perfected your personal life. Chances are that's probably never going to happen. Come on, but people have every excuse in the book. Well, you know, I still am doing this. And well, you know, I still got this going on. And well, you know, I don't really understand this. Let me tell you something. You don't have to wait. All you got to be is a couple of steps ahead of the person in front of you. As long as you're willing to grow in Christ, as long as you're willing to invest in them and pour yourself into them. Listen, you don't have to have all the answers to every problem. You don't have to know everything. Just invest in people. Now, that's not to say we want a bunch of people teaching a bunch of people stuff they don't know nothing about. I mean, that's not the point that I'm making. What I'm making is if you're hungry for the kingdom of God, God will make room for you. God will send somebody your way. There, listen, it should be the prayer of every saint of God in this house. Lord, send me somebody to disciple. You know, I had a pastor tell me the other day, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. He said, every service, I tell my congregation, where's your disciple? Where's your disciple? Are they here? That's what we need to, we need to be discipling people. And I'm convinced that everybody that comes out of that baptistry, everybody that's born again of the water and of the Spirit, everybody that's buried with him in weakness and risen in power, we need to attach a disciple to them to help them get established and stand on their own feet. Because that's what this is about. This is about discipling people. This is about investing into people. All right, we don't have to wait until we have all of the answers. A sincere heart and a desire to be used by God, and he will use you to lead people. Amen. He will use you to lead people. We let our excuses stand in the way of his promises. If you want to enjoy the promises of God, you better get rid of the excuses. Can I tell you, excuses will cause you to lift up your eyes in hell. Can I tell you, that rich man that stepped over Lazarus every time he walked through the gate, he probably was full of excuses. But one day it caused him to lift up his eyes in hell. And he was living in torment and regret, wishing he could go back to that one day when he stepped over the help of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Your excuses will cause you to lift up your eyes in hell. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. You don't have a promise of tonight. Amen. Your excuses will cause you to lift up your eyes in hell, and your comfort will become your carcass. Let me tell you something. We can never get comfortable in our walk with God. We got to learn to invest in God's people. And we let our excuses stand in the way of God's promises. God has promises that he wants to bring to pass in our lives. And let me tell you something. If you want to receive those promises, the best thing you can do is attach yourself to his kingdom and his work. Huh? Attach yourself to the work of the Lord. Is it going to be an inconvenience? You betcha. Is there going to be times you ain't going to feel like doing it? You betcha. Is there going to be times when the guys are going to play golf and you got to go to the hospital to pray with somebody? You betcha. Is there going to be time the guys are going fishing and you got to say, hey, man, I got to go to the hospital to pray? You betcha. Is there going to be times your friends are going to do this and going to do that, but you got a Bible study scheduled? You betcha. It's going to be an inconvenience to your flesh. But if you want the promises of God in your life, you better attach yourself to the Word of God. You better attach yourself to the work of God. Amen. There's no greater way to receive his promises than attach yourself to his kingdom. But we're full of excuses. We like to kick cans down the street. We like to put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today. We're full of excuses. Well, the Bible teaches us about excuses. We read examples, illustrations. There are, the Word of God is highlighted about people using excuses. Moses had excuses why he could not be used of God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? They won't receive me. They're not going to hear me. I'm not good enough. Who shall I say sent me? They're going to ask me what your name is. He was full of excuses. They're not going to believe me. I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. Moses had a list of excuses. But listen, once he realized that this was not about him anymore and his shortcomings really didn't matter. And his inadequacies really didn't matter to God, because God specializes in taking broken things and using them for the supernatural. That's what kind of God we serve tonight. And once Moses realized that it really wasn't about him anyway, then the Lord began to use him mightily. Amen. God doesn't call the flawless, church. I hate to tell you, you're a beautiful bunch of people. Handsome bunch of people, but you ain't flawless, huh? And God didn't call the flawless. He calls the humble. And you know what he does? He takes the humble and he puts them in his flawless plan, and he achieves the supernatural. So when you realize it ain't about you, you don't have a hard time expecting miracles anymore. When you realize you ain't the one that performs them, it's God Almighty. Listen to me. When you realize you're just the vessel, it's not your miracle, it's God's miracle. The ceiling begins to be removed and you realize God can do anything. He can do anything. The ceiling will be removed. When we realize, like Moses finally came to his senses, and he realized, and God lifted him from the backside of a desert, and he put him in Pharaoh's courts, and he said, "Let my people go." Because he took a weak, broken man that was slow of speech and slow of tongue, and he anointed him, and he said, "You go tell that man that I said, let my people go." Let me tell you something. God will take broken, inadequate people, and he will use them for his glory. And when Moses realized that, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The Lord sent Aaron his way. Aaron didn't have no speech impediment. Aaron didn't have no slow tongue. He said, "Listen, this is just a bump in the road, Moses. This ain't nothing for me. Quit making this about you. This ain't about you, Moses. This is about me." And when Moses realized that it was not about him at all, then the Lord used him mightily. He took all of his excuses and he threw them out the door. And the Lord used him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Come on, we got to get rid of our excuses today. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to fail. I don't want to mess up. I don't want people to be looking at me and I let them down. Let me tell you something, there's a good chance that's going to happen. But you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you go on about the work of the Lord. I've messed up many times. You're going to mess up many times. But it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up. And it's how many times you desire to be used by God. We got to get rid of these excuses. They're nothing to the Lord. He doesn't want to hear them. The Lord doesn't want to hear our excuses. Listen, miracles are not hard to believe God for once you realize that it's not your miracle. It's not you that performs it. It's him. We're just a vessel. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever hesitate to walk up here and lay your hands on somebody's believing God for a healing. Unless you're living like the devil, you repent first. But don't hesitate to let the Lord use you. The Lord wants to use us today. We got to get rid of the excuses. Listen, I understand what it feels like to feel inadequate. There's many times I feel like a failure to as pastor of this church. I promise you the devil probably attacks my mind as much, if not more, than he does your guys's. And I struggle with self-confidence, and I struggle with realizing that God has called me to do this. Let me tell you, matter of fact, when God called me, Brother Doug, I thought he had the wrong phone number. But he didn't. And he didn't have the wrong phone number when he called you either. Let me tell you something. There's people in here, me and Brother Paul was talking about this the other day. There's people in here that have the gift of laying on of hands. There's people in here that have the gift of discernment. There's people in here that have gifts, and this atmosphere is conducive to those gifts to work in this body. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm believing God for something tonight. This young man's got me fired up. I'm ready to worship with him. I'm ready to praise God with him. I'm ready to keep the fire burning down in my soul with him. Come on, Jeremiah said, I wouldn't even make mention of the name of the Lord, but the word of the Lord was like fire down in my bones. We got to keep that fire stoked with faithful church attendance. We got to keep that fire stoked with prayer meetings, men's meetings, women's meetings, conferences. We got to keep that fire stoked. And we got to be on fire for the work of the Lord. Moses had all kinds of excuses. When he come to realize that none of them was good enough, God had called him to bring those people out of Egypt. He put on his big boy pants, just like Micah was talking about. And he marched into Pharaoh's palace. And he said, listen here, sir. God said, let him go. Man, I'm telling you what, you can be a person of the most low self-esteem, but the Holy Ghost will put a boldness in you, and you'll stand straight in the face of a tyrant and say, thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you something, the Holy Ghost will give you confidence. Moses had to get rid of those list of excuses that he had. Listen, a man can fail church many times. A woman can fail many times. But they are not truly a failure until they begin to make excuses. You know why? Because it ain't how many times you fall down. But when you start making excuses for falling down, and you start pointing the finger at somebody else for what you did, you got a problem in your soul. It's not how many times you fall down. It's about how many times you get up, and you're never a failure until you begin to make excuses. Jeremiah had excuses. The Bible illuminates them for us. He had reasons. He had excuses why he could not be used of God. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I'm just a youth. Let me tell you something, young people, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. He used Josiah. He'll use you. Amen. God wants to use you. Amen. Jeremiah broke out his list of excuses to the Lord. I don't know what to say. I'm inexperienced. I'm too young. But the Lord got tired of his excuses, and he boldly told him, say not I am a child. Say not I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee. You're going to go where I tell you to go. You're going to say what I tell you to say. And you're going to say it to whom I tell you to say it to. We just got to have the boldness of the Holy Ghost in our lives today. Church, it doesn't matter how inadequate you feel. In your weakness, he is made strong. And he who stands with the Lord, he's going to prevail. Come on, let me tell you something. As long as you ain't making excuses for yourself, as long as you're acknowledging your wrongs, as long as you're putting your best foot forward, as long as you're doing your best to walk with God, he who stands with God will prevail. He who stands with God will prevail. Amen. As long as we ain't caught up in our own excuses. Let me tell you something. One, with God is the majority. Ask Elijah. Ask him when he stood against those prophets of Baal. One with God is the majority. You don't need a ton of support. You need the anointing of God. You need the blessings of God. There's going to be times in your life you're going to feel that you're standing all alone, but he'll never leave you. Gideon had excuses. The Bible teaches us about Gideon's excuses why he could not be used of God. He said, I'm poor. I'm poor. I don't have no money. I'm a chicken. I'm threshing wheat in a wine press. I'm hiding from the Midianites. The Israelites are impoverished. They are in poverty. Everything has been destroyed because of the Midianites. I'm the least of my father's house. He hid and he threshed wheat in a wine press. Gideon's self-esteem was destroyed. He thought of himself as nothing. But when the angel of the Lord showed up that day, he said, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. Come on, he didn't even acknowledge his excuses. He didn't acknowledge his inadequacies. He didn't acknowledge him for what he was at that moment. He saw him for what he could be in Christ. Let me tell you something. The Israelites were impoverished because of the Midianites. Gideon had a good reason to be afraid. He had a good reason to be of low self-esteem. But what the Lord spoke into his spirit that day, it changed it all. When he recognized him as the one that the Lord was going to deliver Israel by, he realized God had a call on his life. I want you to realize today, everybody under the sound of my voice, the Lord has a call on your life. The Lord has a call on your life. There's broken people that God is going to use you to reach. There's broken people that God is going to speak through you into their lives. Amen. The Lord told Gideon, he said, I believe in you. I've called you. Let me tell you something. A word from the Lord calls Gideon to transform from a timid, scared farm worker to a mighty warrior in battle that led Israel to many victories. He took that young, timid, shy, low self-esteemed man, and he made him into a mighty warrior. And let me tell you something, the children of Israel enjoyed 40 years of peace and prosperity because Gideon got rid of his bag of excuses. If you really want to see the prosperity, you really want to see the promises of God, you better get those excuses out of the way. You better get those excuses out of the way because God has called you. God wants to use you in the lives of people. He got rid of those excuses and he realized it wasn't just himself that he didn't trust. He didn't trust the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's not a bad thing to not trust yourself because your flesh will let you down. It's not a bad thing. The heart, you know, people say that old comment, they make that old mistaken comment. Oh, just follow your heart. Just trust your heart. Let me tell you something. What the Bible says, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Your heart will mislead you. You better turn to the word of the Lord. You better lean on the Spirit of God because it won't mislead you. And Gideon got rid of his bag of excuses and he realized that it wasn't that he just didn't trust himself. He didn't trust God. We got to trust God. We got to believe God tonight, church. Benjamin Franklin said, excuses are the tools of the incompetent. Oh, my Lord, I heard some people bringing their toes back under their seats. Excuses are the tools of the incompetent. That's harsh. I don't mean to hurt your feelings tonight, but your excuses are not pleasing to God. He doesn't want to hear our excuses. He wants us to get busy about the Father's business. Our excuses are going to cause us to lift our eyes in hell. Excuses are the tools of the incompetent, and he who specializes in them seldom goes far. There never will be a shortage of excuses as to why we can't do what God has called us to do. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be readily available. The devil has them stacked beside you. Every opportunity God gives you for a promise, the devil's saying, here's your out, here's your excuse, here's the reason why you can't do it. Your excuses are never going to run out. Listen, they're the tools of the incompetent, and those who specialize in those tools seldom go far. Stand with me all over this house as I'm coming to a close tonight. As the musicians come, I'm talking to you tonight about excuses. And if you've been using excuses as to why you're not ready to get right with God, and you're not ready to walk with God, you're not ready to give up this, and you're not ready to give up that, I pray that this strikes a chord with you tonight. Because the Lord didn't call me to make you feel good. The Lord called me to help get you to heaven. And your excuses are going to cause you to lift up your eyes in hell. And I want you to understand tonight that God is not pleased in our excuses. We will never obtain the promises of God as long as we keep reaching into our bag of excuses. The life of Naomi is a story of utter loss. I was reading about her today. Her life, her story is a life of utter loss. She and her husband and her two sons left Bethel. They left to escape a famine. And they went and they packed up their duds and they moved to Moab. Bethel means the house of God. Let me tell you something. There's never anything good going to come out of you leaving the house of God. There's going to be times in your life you might even experience a drought or a famine in the house of God. But you know what they did? Instead of weathering the famine in Bethel, the house of God, they packed up their duds and they went to Moab, which means in search of a father. They packed up their duds and they went to Moab. It wasn't long before Naomi was grieving at the loss of her husband. Shortly after, her first son and then her second son. And now all she has left is her two daughter-in-laws. At the news that the famine had ended, she makes the announcement to her daughter-in-laws that she's going to return to Bethel. As the musicians start playing softly, she makes the announcement to her daughters-in-laws that she's going to return to Bethel. The one daughter-in-law, Orpah, decides she's got enough excuses to stay in Moab. Naomi's broken. Naomi's lonely. Naomi has experienced utter loss. She has nothing left to offer. So Orpah decides, I'm going to let you guys go on to Bethel and I'm going to stay here with my bag of excuses. But Ruth decides she's going to make the journey with Naomi. And as they enter into the land of Bethel, they greet Naomi by her name. Hello, Naomi. It's good to see you again. And she immediately speaks up in her broken state and she says, please don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi. I'm broken. I'm discouraged. I'm low. I've lost everything that was good in my life. Naomi, listen, Naomi leaves Moab to return to Bethel having nothing. Nothing. She knows she's going back to glean in the fields just to eat. But there was something about Naomi that Ruth was drawn to. And let me tell you something. You can never reach such a low place that the Lord can't shine through you into the lives of people. Even in her low estate, even in her lowly place, even in her utter loss, the Lord was still so good to her that Ruth saw something in Naomi. And she said, no, whither thou goest, I'm going to go. Your people's going to be my people. I'm going with you. The Lord has put you in my life, and you ain't getting away from me, Naomi. And let me tell you something. If it hadn't been for Ruth getting rid of her bag of excuses, she could have pulled every excuse that Orpah did. She could have said, well, you really don't have anything to offer anymore. Your son is gone. Your husband is gone. You're going to go back to Bethel, and somebody's going to have to take care of you. You're going to glean the fields just to have something to eat. But Ruth said, there's something about Naomi. Let me tell you something today, church. There's something about a true child of God. Whether you're on the mountain or whether you're in the valley, the Lord will use you miraculously. Whether you're going through the hardest time of your life, whether you are so discouraged you don't know what tomorrow has to hold for you, let me tell you something. There is something that God has sown deep down inside of you that the world sees and the world craves and the world longs for. And here's this lady. She don't know what it is, but there's just something about Naomi. I gotta go with Naomi. You know what? You know what it was? Naomi was leading Ruth back to Bethel. Naomi was leading Ruth in her broken, lonely, utterly lost state. Everything was gone. But Naomi led Ruth back to her redemption. If Ruth would have held on to that bag of excuses that Orpah did, she would have never laid down at the feet of Boaz. And Boaz would have never redeemed her. Boaz would have never claimed her. She would have never got to her promise if she would have held on to her bag of excuses. My God, I'm speaking to somebody today. The Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody today. It's time to get rid of your excuses. Let me tell you something. Problems await you if you keep on holding on to those excuses. Destruction awaits you if you keep on holding on to those excuses. Naomi and her husband and her boys experienced utter loss because they didn't tough out the famine at Bethel. Tough it out, church. Tough it out. Hang in there. Hang in there when it ain't easy. Hang in there when it gets hard. Don't reach for excuses. Put your trust in the Lord. Listen, your redemption draweth nigh. Tomorrow's a new day. The darkest hour is just before day. Your blessing awaits you. Just hang in there with the Lord today. Come on, church. It's time to throw out those excuses. It's time to get reconnected to Bethel today. It's time to stop kicking the can down the street. It's time to stop the delaying. It's time to stop the procrastinating. It's time to stop putting off today until tomorrow what you need to do today. In this parable that I read to you out of this text today, Jesus said, all those that found excuses would have no part in his supper. Your excuses will keep you from supping with the Lord. Your excuses will keep you from sitting down at the master's table. It'll keep you from supping with the Lord today. Your excuses are going to cause you to lift up your eyes in hell. Jesus said, all those that found excuses, all those that were bid to come and made up and found themselves an excuse, they will not taste of my supper. Don't miss out with the master tonight. Don't miss out with the master tonight. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Don't miss out with the master tonight. All things are ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, all things are ready. All things are ready, church. It's time to get rid of that bag of excuses. It's time to get back to Bethel. It's time to get back to the promises of God. Don't worry about that ground you bought. Don't worry about those oxes that need tending to. Don't worry about those ox. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about that wife. Let her work out her own soul salvation with fear and trembling. It's time to get back to Bethel. It's time to get rid of the excuses. It's time to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These altars are open tonight. The Master's waiting. Your excuses are going to keep you from heaven. It's time to get rid of those excuses. Let's worship the Lord all over this house. These altars are open as we sing this song.